luck.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Love Line. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Danny Pino is here tonight from CBS's Cold Case. Sunday nights, 8 o'clock on the aforementioned CBS. Number one hit drama, new drama last year, Drew. I don't know what it is this year. Can't be the new one because it's been on. But I'm guessing it's way up there.
Number one second-year running drama.
Yeah. What's happening?
Sophomore, I guess.
Sophomore.
That is what you call it, sophomore year.
Yeah. I feel I was watching a promo for NYPD Blue as it's sort of coasting to a stop.
With the Smiths feel, coming back as a ghost.
Yeah, but you feel sorry for shows that were these. It's this weird thing. There's like these, you know, you watch football. There's a quarterback you hate on the other team, and then you see him getting into his declining years. You start feeling bad.
For me, the paradigm was Ali.
Yeah, when Ali started getting beat up.
That for me, will always be the standard.
Right. You saw
don't want to be like that.
Yeah. So then Leon Spinks starts slapping him around. It was like, oh.
Really?
And it was funny. 4 years later, I was like, kill this guy. Shut him up. Somebody kill him. I hope a lighting rig crushes him in the ring. And then, 3 years later, I'm like, oh, he's such a great champion. Yeah. It's great how we can do that, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Yeah. I was actually I was rooting for my arch nemesis, Pittsburgh Steelers, last week just to beat the New England, who I formerly liked until they never stopped losing,
How do the Steelers become your nemesis?
Well, I grew up a Rams fan.
Oh, they
and
beat you
I just watched. Here's the whole thing. Danny, I don't know. You're from Miami, right?
Miami, Florida. That's right.
So, well, those are the Dolphins. Dolphins, Steelers dynasties was.
No, Danny wasn't born when they were.
I know, but you could still appreciate it.
What year were you born, Danny?
74.
74. All right. In 2 years they'd gone before I was on beat. Larry Zonka was in his 50s when Danny was born. Yeah, yes.
It's been an interesting year.
Yeah, it's been a tough football year. Thank God they beat my Rams. The only victory.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Ricky Williams will be back, don't worry.
He'll be back.
I don't know if in a Dolphin uniform, but we'll see.
He'll be embraced by his teammates, too. But the thing about it is, football's actually one of these sports which is funny. And here's why you know football's a great sport. Baseball guys come and go. They leave. They get in, off-season boating accidents. They never come back and stuff. You never hear anything out of the team. Football, a guy picks up and leaves, the team's angry.
Yeah.
It's like their battalion. They're like, we were counting on him for leadership.
Counting.
It's like all of a sudden you're the crew of the Memphis Belle.
Yeah.
And the tail gunner says, I'm not going in for me. And everyone's like, are you kidding? You're going to get us killed.
Yeah. Right.
They're angry.
Well,
and they're angry
that,
at him.
But it's also the motive for him leaving. You know, he wanted to go off.
Stupid.
I'm all for it. But I'm saying in baseball, you could do this. Baseball guy could just take off for a year. First off, no one on the team feels betrayed when the second baseman or left fielder just says, I'm sitting this season out.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, I don't know. If you would have brought on, A-Rod into the Yankees and halfway through his third year, he'd say, you know what, I actually want to...
That's just because they're paying him so much.
In concert.
Well, true. But but to be fair, that's halfway... Like if you're halfway in, he quit before opening season. I mean, he quit before the first game during preseason. Well, not first pitch because it's football.
Right.
But the point is I'm saying football great sport because of the camaraderie.
Right.
And the guys are
it's more of a life or death sport.
Understandably angry and don't want to let him come back. And I'm saying if that's baseball, you're sitting between one guy from the Dominican Republic and one guy from Tokyo who don't give a rat, probably didn't know who you were, can't pronounce your name, don't give a rat's ass. They're getting their $20 million a year. That's all they care about. You want to go chase Gloria Stefan around, then that's your business. You come back a year later.
Also, Ricky. He's sort of their franchise player. So I think a franchise player in baseball, too, would have a severe impact on your team.
They seem to be someone else steps up.
All right. Anyway.
All right. Stop disagreeing with me, Danny. Let's go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's talk
about the Abba Zabba again.
Abba Zabba, yeah.
Let's go. Let's get back to the Abba Zabba.
Yeah, let's go. All right, so what do we got to look forward to this Sunday, by the way? Don't give anything away? You get shot? Shoot anybody?
No, no. I don't get shot. Whether I shoot anybody or not, I think I'm going to hold that back.
Oh, okay. That means you're shooting somebody.
Well, who knows?
That's what I hear. Drew,
killing,
you hear
killing
that?
Somebody, I heard.
Or kill.
Strangle somebody.
And a pistol whip. All right. And, oh, by the way, I know I recognized that Danny played Desi Arnaz in the I Love Lucy movie. Well, do you speak Spanish?
I do.
You do? So you can do that accent? Are you Cuban?
I am Cuban.
All right.
Whenever you get angry, you start yelling in Spanish?
No. That's more like my dad. My dad will rant in Spanglish.
Do you have a good story when you guys came over here or, took a raft or anything good?
No.
Nothing good?
That's I think, more common nowadays. Back when my grandparents came over in 59.
Oh, they came over?
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually took a flight.
And what?
They much flew? More convenient.
They flew a raft over?
No, that would be an airplane.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what about Fidel? It was funny when he fell down. I think everyone agreed on that. I think...
I TiVo'd it and watched it 12 times over.
Everyone seemed to.
I have Cuban friends. They despise him.
Fidel.
Cubans?
Absolutely.
Not a fan.
I mean,
not a big
it's just
fan.
A hatred that is deep.
Yeah. Well,
it deserved.
It really... I use him as an example all the time of when everyone talks about how evil this country is and how we like the metal in everyone's business. If we truly were into it, we should have just gone over there. As soon as the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union started to fall apart and he lost a lot of his military backing and stuff, we should have immediately just went over there and thrown him into the ocean. I mean, if we were as horrible as...
American Cubans would have loved that.
Oh, yeah.
American-Americans, American-Cubans, Cuban-Cubans, everybody but Fidel probably would have loved that. And I still don't see what the deal is, because here's my feeling with Cuba and Fidel. It's like... There's the Soviet Union, and then there's the United States. He hitches his wagon to the wrong team. He says, "I'm gonna hook up with the Soviet Union. Put some missiles here. We're both into communism. This is gonna be great." And then 25 years, 30 years later, the wheels come off the wagon, and now the big brother, who's there to protect him, has like tuberculosis, and he's dying of the HIV,
mm-hmm.
and he's in a hospice right now. Now we come in and kick their ass, right? Because we have been nice to them for 30 years because of the big brother. You know what they're like? They're like that kid who's got the big brother as the star of the football team, and he's in the ninth grade, and the guy's a senior, and they're just walking around campus, and he's cracking wiser. No one can do anything because the big brother's got the Letterman jacket, and he's the captain of the football team.
But then he graduates.
Then he graduates. Now, well, he was tossed out, really, is what it is. Point is he's in juvie. He's gone, the big brother. Now it's time to exact our revenge on the wisecracking little brother, right? Shouldn't we just go do that? What would the world do if we just said, look, what if, and you tell me, Danny, what you think of this, but what if we just said to the world, look, Fidel's caused enough trouble over the last, 40 years. Let's face it, he's a bad guy. People are taking inner tubes over here. They're dying in storms. We're giving them to the first of the year. He doesn't have to leave. He doesn't have to go to exile. Just step down. Just move out.
Well, I think we're taking away the comedic opportunity of watching him fall more often.
Oh, it would be nice. It would be nice.
And wait till Raul steps in his place.
That would be comedy of errors.
That his brother?
Oh,
really?
Ooh.
Bad times?
Oh.
Bigger beard?
Mm.
Wow. Maybe the beard's what's taking him down.
Bigger grenade belt.
Wow.
That's what takes him down.
Drew, when you basically have 60, 70 pounds of facial hair and you try to stand up as an old person, that's going to take you down,
you
right?
Topple, yeah.
It's where you start walking forward, starts pulling you. It's like walking with a big bushel of apples on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What made me laugh is that the Cuban government released a statement saying that he refused anesthesia to repair his broken knee.
Right.
So that he can continue to govern the island.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Sure.
Govern the island or just tell crazy baseball stories from the 40s?
Yeah.
Drew knows. Drew, what?
I went to Cuba, and our Cuban friends still don't forgive us for having gone there. But we went and spent 3 hours with him.
You actually went to Cuba.
Went to Cuba and spent 3 hours with Castro.
Well, it was nice doing the show. You guys take care.
Drew and 700 other idiots, by the way, not just him.
There's a couple hundred of us in this room.
With Castro. Drew's traumatized kids who couldn't stay up.
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. He went on a completely rambling diatribe that was barely made sense, where the opening question was, he stands out there and goes, I'm going to take questions from you all. And first of all, I had us shipped into the building. We had to immediately come. And we were under the supervision of the government the whole time we were there. You've got to come now. So we come in there, and he goes, what's your question? And somebody goes, why should we trust Cuba? Why should we invest in Cuba? He spoke then for 3 hours on that question. And in the content, the content of the talk was rambling nonsense, where he went on to talk about how he had discovered that Huntington's chorea was an autosomal dominant disease, something known since the 40s.
Danny.
This country. Yeah. And that it was his Cuban system and he personally, and by the way, he's a great baseball player. I ended up talking about baseball and how he'd invented the curveball. He invented it.
Wow.
Wow.
Little known fact.
I mean, just nutty stuff.
Well, you endured for 3 hours what the Cuban citizens have had to endure for over 40 years.
And then that Havana is this spectacular city that looks like it's Atlantis. It looks like it's just sinking into the water. It's just completely falling apart.
Yeah.
But you can see the glory behind it.
But look, the jury's still out on communism. It may work after all.
So one of these days, we'll get around.
Give it some time, everybody. Come on now. Let's just go kick a man in the ocean. Can we do that? I mean, look, here's all I'm saying. As long as the rest of the world's going to think we're bullies and think we're power hungry, they already think we're a-holes. Let's start having some fun with it. And Cuba is close. It's easy. It'd be easy to get. I'm sure Bush is probably more popular there than Fidel is. It'd be easier just to get a little uprising. And a coup is always nice, by the way.
It's quaint, yes.
Yeah, I'll take. As opposed to all the kind of ugliness we're having in Iraq and parts unknown, a nice, healthy coup is nice every once in a while. First off, sounds good. Coup. Sounds good. And secondly, it's fun. People taking to the street, firing guns up in the air. I've seen movies. No one really seems to get hurt.
In the coups.
Yeah, just a lot of guys firing guns in the air, a lot of guys waving cigars around. A nice coup would be nice. All right, let's work on that.
All right, here we go. Right.
But in the meantime, we're going to the phones. We're going to speak to Allie, who's 17. Allie?
Hi.
Hey there.
What's happening?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
We are good.
Good.
You had a question.
Yeah, I want to know if it's easier to have an orgasm if you've been raped.
No, I would say not.
If it's easier to have one?
Yeah, or you're more likely to.
But not during, this is after.
After the rape, right?
Yeah.
No.
No,
I would say it's more difficult.
I would say it's more difficult. That if you're having orgasms easily, that's sort of how you're wired. That's your constitution.
Who raped you? What happened?
Well, I don't really know, but, my dad's dad is a child molester. Mm. And, I listen to you guys all the time. And, I remember Drew talking about one time how, you get flashbacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always have flashbacks of when I'm, three and somebody going, come on, let's go to the bathroom. I'm like, but I don't have to go potty. And then, I black out. And then, somebody going, come on, let's go change your clothes. I'm like, but they're not dirty yet. And, I, black out, and I have, things like that all the time.
Well, hold on.
No.
Is it this guy?
Is this the guy in the flashback?
When you're a kid, you have a life full of, we're getting into the bathtub.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to take a bath, right?
It's hard to organize memories in a accurate way under the age of about 8. They're very spotty, and they can be interpreted in different ways and sort of filed different than they actually occurred. And nothing about those are actually called screen memories, are really what you call a flashback. Those are normal, Allie, what you're having.
Well, what about your dad's dad, as you call him, your grandfather? How do you know he's a child molester?
Because he's in jail for it.
Okay, except for that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, I who else did he molest, other brothers and sisters of yours?
No, I'm the oldest. He was in jail before any of my other brothers and sisters were born.
And he didn't go in jail for having touched someone in the family?
No.
And you say it's easy for you to have orgasms now?
Yeah.
And that concerns you?
No.
Okay.
I just want to know if that's because of that.
No. It's you. It's good. You're lucky. You're one of those less than 10% women that can have them doing sit-ups.
All right,
most women have great difficulty with that.
But Alan,
at your age,
here's the thing: you're going to get like an SAT score and wonder if it was changed because you were molested. You're going to, get a flat tire and you're going to wonder if it happened because you were molested. It's not a good way to go through life. I don't even know if you were molested.
Yeah, I would sort of.
Let's just assume you weren't until sort of proven otherwise.
Yeah, if you're able to have stable relationships and your mood and you're able to, your emotional life is relatively healthy.
Yeah,
move on.
I can't really have stable relationships because of my dad. Like, my dad abused me, and so, like, he said I have PTSD, and then, like...
Okay, all right.
So your dad's a criminal, too.
There you go. He physically abused you.
Yeah, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
All right. That has the same impact as sexual abuse.
Well, we probably just leave it at physically and mentally, by the way.
Just the abuse.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
Here's my plan for you.
Okay.
Don't get pregnant. Drew, stop that, please. Don't. And Drew's whole thing is, you can't hear it on the air, but you can. Don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And watch out. I don't trust these guys year-round.
Okay.
All right? And what are you doing in school? You just getting by?
Yeah.
All right. So what's your plan?
I want to be a nurse when I grow up.
Perfect.
You
do?
Perfect.
All right. Because you're going to be growing up in about 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, junior college, though.
Just go,
yeah, but junior college
go
for
focus.
Nursing.
Okay, yeah. This is what I'm saying. We got to focus on nursing, right?
Yeah.
Good.
What are you going to do about that?
I'm going to go to school for it.
All right. Do it.
Yeah.
Full speed ahead, okay?
All right. Yeah. Everyone needs to get a trade, needs to do something.
Who
aren't going to college. It's fine. Be a nurse, be an electrician. But do something. Don't just say, I'm going to go to junior college. Hold your ears, Engineer Chris. Take your headphones off. Or put it on Arrow or something.
The Ranchero music?
Yeah, don't do the hold pattern thing. Just, you're 17, you're a crappy student, fine. And by the way, Drew and Danny, I don't know, were you a bad student?
Some years. I was spotty, I guess is what it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd apply myself and sometimes I wouldn't.
What'd you do when you graduated high school?
I went to college.
You did?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Florida International University.
International?
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds good. Seems like it's bad, though.
Well, it probably should have been called University of South Florida, but they named that University in Tampa.
I see.
Which is actually in Central Florida, but that was taken up
by International.
International.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
There is a Southern Florida and there's a Central Florida, right?
Right, right. But one is in Tampa, one is in Orlando.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Odd.
Weird.
Right.
International is nice, though. You picture like chicks walking around in stewardess outfits from the 60s. You know, it's
certainly
a nice flair to it.
So you've been there.
Yeah. Is it hot? Feels good.
You know what? It is. It is.
Florida.
Hard to study.
What you want to do is you want to go to a school somewhere in Florida where it's not too tough to get in. Now you got hot chicks in shorts. You know what I mean? Hot weather, easy admittance equals smoking chicks.
Just to explore Danny's heritage, let's take a Germany or Florida on line one.
All right.
Here we go.
All right. Here's how the game is played. Line one. Yeah. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. They tell us the story, and we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Drew, you were right last night, were you not?
At your behest.
That's right.
Remember, you made me vote Germany.
I made you vote Germany.
I heard that one. I thought it was Florida because it sounded Florida.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're an expert. Zach?
Yeah.
Or you were an expert. Zach, you're 13.
Yeah.
Give us the story.
Okay. A man was told by authorities that they couldn't shut down neighborhood drug dealers because they lacked evidence. So he went down the street, bought a $4 bag of marijuana, and called the sheriff's deputies to collect the evidence. Instead, they arrested him and left him facing a year in jail.
That's America.
That's Florida.
That's
Florida.
For sure.
That feels like Florida.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, we're all going Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, Zach.
Yeah, I thought this was easy. Yes, it is.
There we go. Well,
yeah, that's all right. Now, if you'd said hash, we'd have to think about it a little bit.
Or something, some macabre setting.
Other than
the street.
Cabaret.
Other than the street.
Cabaret or something. Yeah, it's a
cabaret. Hitler's bunker. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Wouldn't be a bad name for a gay bar. Walk down some stairs.
Hitler's bunker.
I'll meet you at Hitler's bunker.
Bunker. GSG.
You ever go to the glory hole of Hitler's bunker? Awesome. Down about 30 flights of stairs. It's a great little place.
Oh.
You just go, you just keep going down Bleecker Street till you see the sandbags. Then you turn down the stairs. It's awesome. All right, let's... Well, see, now that was an easy one.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's how
it breaks
a man. That's how you play Germany or Florida. Yeah,
and notice the certainty with which Danny approached that. That definitely Florida.
That's definitely Florida. I'm confident.
Yeah.
About that.
Oh no, it's like an indigenous bird, mm-hmm. you know, of your region.
You hear it. Yeah,
you hear it. You know what it is. Erica.
Yes. Hi.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for about 10 months. We're both the same age. We're both 21. And I have absolutely no urge to have sex with him anymore whatsoever.
Uh-oh. All right. Is he doing something wrong?
No, I don't. Right. No, because I enjoy it when I have it. It's just the drive. It's the initiative.
All right. If he's done nothing that you're wanting to punish him for, like not paying attention to you or banging your sister or something, this might mean it's over.
Well,
unless there's some chemical imbalance or
something. Or there's always, you know, this is a love line caller after all. This is a genuine intimacy, and maybe she is sort of an abuse survivor, and she can only have sex with people she doesn't care about.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And somebody and she's in that sort of bipolar phase where she used to be very, very sexually active with guys she didn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Now she actually is with somebody she loves, and it all shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Corolla
syndrome. Exactly why I called.
Is that true? Is that what's going on?
Now, I don't know so much about the abuse, but what Drew is saying, I actually told the screener guy, I don't remember his name, but Drew had told another caller a couple weeks ago that is something that happens, but he never explained it, so I was really, really mad.
Well, let's talk about it. So did you ever have an eating disorder?
This is the interesting one. Yes and no. I have been known to have a form of anorexia, but it's not because I think I'm
stop
fat.
Stop smoking the cigarette while you're talking to me. It drives
me
crazy.
Nervous. He's a doctor.
I am. I'm freaked out.
All right, but you understand it's like blowing a butt and talking to a doctor is like violating yourself with a crucifix while you're
talking to a
professional. Yeah, talking to a priest. It really is. True, you don't have to do it.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't. I did it for you.
I only do the beat-off move.
You don't do the girl
violation. I don't do it. I don't have a vagina, but I have a penis. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's got to be. It's poor form when you're like, yeah, so I think may have been molested. Put a cigarette out? All right. Honey, get the dip. I got a dip. Yeah, no, bring the Kodiak. A red man, whatever. Just bring it. Let's go. Yeah. Come on, baby. Put that thing out. It's insulting to Dr. Drew.
All right, good. So you had any, you don't yes or no. You don't sort of have eating disorder. That's a yes or a no.
Well,
so you had an eating disorder.
It's if I don't feel good, if I feel nauseous, I won't eat to keep myself from feeling that way, and I get into a vicious cycle. And it has been happening more often than not when I've been with James, that I do feel nauseous. So I went to a health store to get vitamins because I know if I'm not eating, I have to supplement my body somehow.
Why do you get nauseous for, you mean being around your boyfriend or being with him sexually?
No, it's something that, like, I started working Grave at Denny's, which is a wonderful job, but that threw my body out of whack. So I went through a couple of weeks where I had a cold and was borderline flu, and I'm still not
quite.
All this
is physical stuff, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're abused.
Yeah, or abandoned or neglected
something,
or something.
You got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
What's up? What happened?
I've listened to you guys for years. I had a neighbor in elementary school. Now, it was nothing that I think is overly sexual, but Drew is the doctor. It was another girl, and she always had me play the guy, and we'd, like, have make-out sessions, but we'd never kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like...
it's more about... quiet. Where's your dad and your mom?
They're together, and
they're... Are they good?
Local.
They're good?
Yeah.
Were they in your life when you were growing up?
Yes. Well, my dad was a workaholic. He was home.
Mm-hmm.
But they also... Both my parents smoke pot.
Shocking.
So a lot of times they would ask me to go upstairs or go watch TV or something. They would ask me to leave.
Hold on a second. You know what I get with Erica is I get someone who feels like she has to take care of herself.
Yes, because no one did it for her.
No one took care of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though normally it's just the parents abandon you, the dad moves to Florida, ironically. I don't know what happens to Floridians who abandon their kids. Lord knows there's a lot of them.
They must, to Germany.
No, I think it's Nevada.
Oh, yeah. Nevada, of course.
It's a sort of ashtray for Florida. But it is true, because you show me a guy who moved to Nevada or Florida, I don't want to talk to him. and when we need him, by the way. The state he left is looking for him. But
why do they always take a job as a driver?
They just
some
drive.
Kind of driver.
They drive
truck.
You know why?
Cab.
You know why? Because you know those guys who start doing this, like they go, "Listen, man, I don't need a job. Or I got the man breathing down my right. neck. I don't need some guy with a tie looking." And you start thinking. You start thinking. Now, not only do you not he needs you out. That's like I would like you to leave the cab. Could you run alongside the cab? Could you please get, could you operate it via the rear bumper or something with a remote?
Like, because they can't tolerate work, a job. Anyway, well,
they can't tolerate people, but yeah. you start realizing people can't tolerate them.
Right, right.
That's the reason they yeah. need to get out of the office. All right, she's taking care of herself.
Let's get her back after the break.
Really?
Because I need to know a little more about the sex stuff. Because that's
all
what
right. Danny Pino here tonight from a Cold Case, CBS, 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Pino here tonight. Danny's from Cold Case, CBS, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. Number one new drama on TV last year. Mm-hmm. Turns out we're almost neighbors, Danny and I.
Weird.
Yeah, eerie, spooky, everybody. let's
finish with Erica.
Finish with Erica. All right, recap Erica.
Erica shut down sexually with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She has an maybe eating disorder. She comes from marijuana addicted, sort of neglectful parents.
Mm-hmm.
And Erica.
Yeah.
What was sex like? What were you like before the boyfriend?
I'd be not really slutty, but I was with, I want to say about 15 guys. I haven't got the chance to count. Mm-hmm. before James, but I lost my virginity at 18, mm-hmm. and it wasn't to the greatest guy, but it wasn't rape or date rape or anything like that. It was completely mm-hmm. willing on my part, and he was a really nice guy.
Refreshing.
But, mm-hmm. yeah, I feel lucky for that one. But it was a lot of random guys I knew as friends, but it was all never right. really in a relationship sense.
All right. We just figured that you were sort of neglected and had to care for yourself as a kid, even though your parents were physically around. They were sort of incapacitated yeah. downstairs, Stone. Right. And yeah. now everything's about taking care of you.
Well, and what happens when you don't get what you need, you don't develop an internal capacity for regulate your feelings, and sex and drugs become a way of doing that. And then you start, you know, you never develop an adequate self-esteem. You start feeling guilty for being that way. Sexuality becomes a part of yourself. It's sort of separate and bad. And when you're in a real relationship with somebody you actually care about, you feel like you can't bring that part in. That's mm-hmm. the bad part. You don't mm-hmm. want to bring that in. It will somehow soil the relationship.
Now she's working, by the way, so you're calling from New Hampshire,
Graveyard
right?
at Denny's.
And you're working Graveyard at Denny's. I don't imagine, like, wintertime, 4:30 in the morning, what rolls into that place. Who's coming in there? Are you open 24 hours?
Yes.
And who's coming in there at 4 in the morning?
A lot of times it's drunk kids, underage drunk kids like to go in. Yeah. They party all night. And so
yeah, they went partying, right.
Do they pee on each other under the table?
No.
That's what
we
used to do.
Generally have some pretty good people.
Right?
The bad drunk people are
yeah.
like the 30, 40, 50-year-old people that come in.
Really?
By
the way,
it's kind of like truckers going between Nova Scotia and New York City or something.
These places that stay open that get the crowd in there at 4 in the morning just become like a sieve in a sewer. Like nothing else is open. They can't go anywhere else. They're loaded. They're no one wants to go home, and it's 3 in the morning, so you know you got idiots because they go, it's 3 in the morning, let's put down a couple lumberjack snacks before we call it a night. By the way, I miss those days. But, I mean, like, and then you wake up and you go, never again, and then, 18 hours later, you're back there eating your next rootin' tootie. But the point is I could imagine it should be like a horrible, surly crowd, and
yeah.
tipping just must be horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, like no tipping, especially in those balmy nights in the winter in North New Hampshire.
Yeah.
About that.
Are people tipping, Erica?
Some nights. Saturday night, I ended up working a 12-hour shift. I made about $150.
Ooh. Yeah.
But last yeah. night, it was dead. I made 25 in an 8-hour shift.
I don't know. Let me say this about tipping. I got two tipping theories. One is there's nothing worse than living out here in L.A. and you got some 19-year-old model who's like, and everything's overpriced and undersized, and you sit down with three or four people, and you order a couple expensive bottles of wine and some cocktails, and the next thing you know, things upscale, trendy eatery. The next thing you know, it's a $900 thing, and she's walking with a couple hundred bucks, and she's nothing but attitude. And by the way, she's her training is she's been there for 3 weeks, and she blew the owner, and she dropped out of junior college. I don't, and by the way, you know, okay, so people are like, well, she gets between 15 and 20% because that's the way you tip. You tip, you know, the guys I go out with, it's like you tip 20%.
You got to tip 20%.
You
got to
tip 20%. But yeah. Really, she needs $200 for an hour and 45 minutes work of really not doing anything and serving three or four others.
She gave you a lot of attitude.
She has to get paid. I can beat off to her. That's true. She's got to get paid like she's an attorney. Like right. She's an engineer, like right. An architect. I was going to say doctor, but Drew will get insulted because you guys don't get paid that much.
That's right.
She who has no training, no college, no anything, and is long on attitude is going to marry some the Sultan of Brunei in 6 months anyway. She's got to get 20. No, she doesn't. You could get your $700-$800 thing and give her $80, and I'm fine with that.
That's tons.
She's still making $50 an hour. That's fine. She can make $50 an hour cash.
That's just
she's
at that
not
table.
Doing anything. That's just at your table. And by the way, when I was a journeyman carpenter and I was reading plans and dealing with inspectors and pulling up
unpaid.
The thing full of $15 an hour.
Yeah.
For the love of Christ, up there working out hips and valleys and ridge rafters and stuff on a hip square. For the love of God, and this little C is getting up. 10 times what I'm making, having a cocktail and batting her eyelashes.
Not
how
only that,
dare
but you leave hungry.
You leave hungry. That's right.
You got to go to In-N-Out Burger.
Eating off the lunch truck.
Or to Denny's.
Or to Denny's. Get myself the
Sleepwalker special.
That's
laugh harder than this moment. What got your fancy there, Chris?
He doesn't like those broads. He's an ass full of them.
Or where you wanted to eat afterwards made you laugh.
No, it's just the 15%.
And Chris over here, look at him. He's busting his ass. He gets $10 an hour.
That's right.
Oh, we can relate.
All right, so look.
Righteous indignation.
So let me see this. Engineer Chris gets $20 for sitting here listening to my retarded rants, which he's heard the same ones night after night after night after night. He's going to have to go into therapy to, like, he's like right. Like what he's going to have to detoxify from my venomous rant. He gets next to nothing. This hot chick, who, by the way, has got a sugar daddy who's leasing her a Jeep Cherokee. And the guy or condo, the BJ, she gets tons of money. No, here's the way it should be. Now, then, the same a-holes, or maybe different a-holes, they go to a Denny's, they get some chick like Erica, she's busting her hump, but the meal, you know, it's cheap. You and your buddy sit there and eat like John Goodman, and it comes to $14.99, and you're like, all right, give her $2.
By the way, she's sitting there all night.
All night.
Not just until 9:30.
And she probably has like 15 tables compared to, you know, other chick who's got like three.
She's running around.
So
all right, here's my point.
So it should be 100%.
Here's my point. When you get a meal that's like you and a buddy and it's under $30, you gotta step it up to like 50%. Just leave $10. You know what I mean? Yeah. You go to Denny's, you eat your ass off, you get the syrup go round, you get all that stuff. Don't leave her. You technically, you only owe her $2.10 on the $15 meal, but don't do it. Slap a five or a ten down. Give that person a little something. By the way, you know what she's going home to?
Yeah.
Oh, she got a husband's like just sucking off a old Crow bottle and she's pulling his belt out. When she comes through the trailer, just pulling the belt down.
By the way, the belt's just a rope.
Yeah, Joe, pulling the rope out. That's right. Wore the belt out, beating her with it, smoking some cools. Yeah, no, that's right. Mm-hmm.
$10.
All right, the other one, go down. It's fine. She didn't get anything. All right, where are we, Drew?
Sarah, we're talking to Sarah.
Talking to Sarah. Sarah, 17.
Hello.
What's up?
Okay, I have a question. I went out with this guy over the summer that was very much older than me by a lot.
You were 17. How old was he?
31.
Oh, I love that. He was very much older than me by a lot. Because I was at like, you're 17, he's 41. Now you're 7. No, now you're 14, he's 128.
I'd Beelzebub.
he's got a beard down to his knees. He's holding an hourglass.
She went out with Castro.
That's right. Sarah?
Yeah?
Oh, here's the sad part. When she says how old the guy is, and he's 10 years younger than you, Drew.
Yeah.
You get ready?
A lot.
You want to fall on a like number two pencil? Or just
yeah, pencil before.
Make yourself a note to kill yourself when you get home. All right, let's see.
Kill self.
Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 17. How old was this old man?
31.
Oh, you man.
Wow. Wow. Dried up. You're lucky you didn't break him. Yeah.
No, right. It's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
Wow.
It's my favorite.
Wow.
It's my favorite drop. We seem like teenagers because I make 135 beat-off jokes every night and talk about peeing in the sink. That's the teenage part.
Yeah, and then this is the reality of our voice.
Right. All right, so, Sarah.
All right, Sarah. Yeah. This guy's a criminal.
We don't like him.
Did you sleep with him?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Well, actually, like, we went out for a while, and it was good in the beginning, and then, like, it just went downhill.
It's not, Sarah, there can be nothing good about it. No, it might seem good, but the guy is a criminal. This is what I tell every young lady like this, is wait till you're in your 30s and you think about who that guy was that must have been dating a 17-year-old. You will just, your skin will crawl.
Yeah. But, like, he would be,
she took
like,
that one to heart.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
He mentally abused me, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, he would threaten to tell my mom stuff, and I wasn't allowed to see him.
Threatened to call your mom. Are you kidding? He'd get arrested if he called your mom.
I love that ploy.
What an idiot.
That's a dude move. No chick's ever tried that move.
You know what I want to know? How did it all start? I mean, what was the genesis of it all?
Yeah.
We actually met over the summer at the Gorge for a concert, and then we started hanging out. He lived by me, so we just
set the scene exactly. What, you were at a concert together?
Well, no, I met him at a concert. He actually met up with one of my friends, and I met up with her.
Another 17-year-old friend.
Yeah.
He picked up a 30-year-old picking up on a 17-year-old. What does this guy do for a living, just for laughs?
He works at a tattoo shop.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's
fantastic.
Awesome.
So all this and hepatitis C.
Is he an IV drug user?
No.
Not that you know.
Okay. All right, so Sarah, you better be careful. This guy may rat himself out to your parents.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, he's going to do is tell the authorities.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll just threaten to throw himself into jail.
It's 16 in Washington, though. It's not illegal.
Oh, is that right? Interesting. Right.
So Sarah, 16 in Washington is the age of consent. Sarah,
by the way, that's not a good. That's why that's not a good idea. Have 16 is the age of consent.
Well, he knocked me up.
He did?
Yeah, and then he left me. And I just recently had an abortion. Like, not an abortion, but I had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't talk to me anymore. But ever since him, when I come around guys that like me, I freak out and run away. And it makes me nauseous.
Hold on a second.
Right.
So you got pregnant.
How
long after did you have a miscarriage?
3 months. Like, 3.5, 4 months.
And what happened during that miscarriage?
I was in class and I had really, really bad pains, and I went to the bathroom and clots were coming out of me, like chunks.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I pretty much just sat there and bled. And then I went to the doctor and that's what they told me, so.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't do a DNC afterwards?
They, like, gave me a pap smear and checked me out, but I just went to Planned Parenthood and they just cleaned me out, but.
DNC is where they clean you out?
Okay.
What's DNC, Drew? Don't put the puss on. Just talk, will you? DNC.
DNC is an operation.
Well, but they don't cut you open.
No, but they put her out and they clean them out.
Well, she said they clean them out.
In the hospital.
Well, they can't do it at Planned Parenthood?
No.
What's the difference?
Point is, there's a definite bogus flavor to this.
No. What'd they use on you? What'd they clean you out with?
They put a clear clamp inside of me, and it kind of seemed like it'd be a pap smear, but I, you know, I was freaking out.
Hold on a second.
Right.
Drew, what do you want?
All right.
This is not bogus.
Clear clamp, just a speculum. It's a clear clamp. It's just, that's what opens it up.
Yeah, I know what a speculum is. And then they go in with this Swifter and they clean it out. Right?
Swifter, yeah.
Whatever they use these days. I don't know. But here's my point. She described an abortion.
All right.
She was in class. She got cramps. She went to the thing. Drew, what's wrong with you?
Keep going.
You don't know anything.
All right.
Well, by the way, what's... Okay. It's not that spectacular.
All right. That's fine.
Sarah?
Yeah?
And so now when you get around guys...
I've actually liked a guy, and he tried to kiss me, and I get nauseous. Like, I want to puke.
Okay. All right.
So you're super anxious around guys.
Yeah, you're upset. You were traumatized.
Well, you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
You know? You got to sort of expect that.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Oh, she's got a bad line. Sarah, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah. I'm like really, really
cool. Right. Did your parents know you were pregnant?
No. God, no.
Well, what were you planning on doing?
What was your plan, yeah?
Huh?
What was your plan?
With that pregnancy before it terminated?
Well, I was planning on keeping it, and I was going to move out and try to do things on my own.
All right, so you were going to tell your parents?
And not tell your parents?
Well, at some point.
Well, at one point, after I was out, and they couldn't threaten to kick me out because I'd already be on my own.
Yeah. Now, Drew, hold on. This isn't a bogus call. She's not smart enough to do a bogus call, and she came up with a good abortion thing. Unless this was only way I'll believe it is there's another abortion that she's bringing in, spontaneous abortion, that is. Sarah.
Yeah.
All right. I believe you.
I believe you, too.
Yeah, so is Danny. Drew over here doesn't. Are you making this up?
No, I'm not.
All right. I believe her.
All right.
So here's the thing.
You know what?
I said I can tell you where he works. And he actually caught him hitting on 14-year-olds, too.
Yeah, well, no, I'm sure he does stuff like that.
I'm sure he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. All right, you're not pregnant. That's good.
No, yeah.
Your parents haven't kicked you out. That's good. You learn a valuable lesson with an a-hole. That's good and bad. A little counseling, perhaps?
Well, you know what? If you were traumatized in the past, this kind of trauma can trigger all kinds of horrible things. But the fact is, if you're just super anxious around guys, that's really all you're experiencing, try to find a nice, boring guy just to kind of go out with and hang out with. Don't put a lot of heat on it. Don't expect to get in a relationship. Don't get a physical.
How about just taking a year off? How about just focusing on your school and your friends and that kind of thing?
Really slow. Really slow.
Yeah, and believe me, you can go a year in high school without getting laid. Trust me. Believe you me.
That's as a male, Adam.
Now, I know, but guys feel, I think women, we got to take a break. Oh, do we got to take a break? But
yeah.
Women just feel like they're nothing without a man.
Yeah,
they don't exist somehow.
Better if they don't have a male.
They're like, it's like a tree falling in a forest. Would you hear it if there,
yes.
Would I be alive if there weren't men to long after me sexually? Just stop it.
Yeah.
Listen,
get
your friends, get your school, and relax for a year.
I agree with that.
All right. There'll be plenty of time to sled around later. Believe me, you got your whole life. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, Love Line, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Pino here tonight from Cold Case, CBS, 8 o'clock Sunday night. Yes, Drew.
Yes, Adam.
Looking good, buddy.
Break it down.
Break it down. All right. Haven't talked politics tonight because we were just sort of had an ass full of it last night. We don't really know what's going on, although I do hear, speaking of Cold Case, the one thing I dug, there was a initiative or ballot, some measure where they would, if they arrested you, they took a little DNA and then they had it on file.
Hmm. Yeah.
And this is something those pussies over at who the hell?
ACLU.
ACLU have been fighting from guys on... drove me nuts, which is somebody had this great idea, which is, hey, how about we get a DNA swab of all the guys who are on death row? That way we can close some cases that they're probably involved in. Here's how it works, basically. Here's how you can tell, because most of the time when they're looking for a killer or something, it turns out he's behind bars in New Mexico for aggravated assault, and they're looking for he murdered a couple of people in Indiana, you know? It's a handful of... Makes sense, by the way.
Yes,
it's like
course.
They're the guys who make all the money, and then there's the guys who create all the crime. It's not
right.
Like everyone takes turn killing somebody.
Look.
One guy's do most of it. And somebody said, and think all the resources it takes, by the way, to keep these files going.
Absolutely.
You know, from your TV job.
That's right.
And then think about the poor grieving families who never have any closure. And I know that sounds like a cliche, think the guy is, he's probably got a hooker on top of him right now and he's enjoying himself at a roulette table in Nevada. That's horrible. You like to know the guy's behind bars or wherever he is. And so someone said, hey, I got a great plan. And this is really what's going wrong with this country in a nutshell. Somebody has an idea. Somebody says, look, here's a way to save some money, save some manpower. Get rid of some paperwork and give some closure to the families.
No.
We'll go get some DNA swatches from death row prisoners. They're already on death row. Mm-hmm. We'll get a little DNA from them. We'll be able to close some of the other cases that may be open that have their DNA on them. Or maybe they'll find them innocent. But that's the thing. So, great plan, right? No. ACLU?
No. I wonder if they'll allow it after they're dead.
I don't know. I guess the ACLU won't. And the thing about it is, it's that No. Slippery slope. Because the idea is once the government gets a database of everybody, that's when it starts turning on its citizens. Yeah, that's what the government wants to do. They want to know your name, your phone. By the way, what doesn't the government know? Does the government not know where to find you? Not know what your Social Security is? Not know what your taxes are? Push a button and figure out how much you paid in taxes or how many parking tickets you got last year? Believe me, the government knows.
And what I know is we got to take a break again.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, yes. I'm on a roll here.
Yes, sorry.
Danny Pino here tonight from CBS Cold Case. Yeah, DNA. All right, a little more DNA talk, and it's right back to your troubles after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Pino here tonight, Cold Case, CBS, Sunday night. Just talk a little DNA before we went to break.
Need to go back to that?
Well, here's what I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say that there's an initiative here in California to get a little DNA from those who are pulled over or brought in and keep a database of it, and I'm all for it. And by the way, might turn out to be good for the person that gave the swab. It's not always about you being railroaded into prison.
If you have nothing to hide.
You could be missing.
Yeah.
Or it could be your corpse they find and want to identify. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Nothing wrong.
I'm in full support only because I think it'll help the show go on for another few years.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the information they're going to get.
Yeah. And that DNA, boy, that's just solid stuff. That's all we need. Also, couple things. One, I saw some ads that former Governor Jesse the Body Ventura was giving black hair, black beard, looking like a maniac. Have you seen him?
Well, he's a wrestler.
He was, but then he became a governor. But then he's a wrestler again. Have you seen?
No.
Nothing? Didn't see that spot, Danny?
I didn't see
crazy
that.
Crazy pitch black dyed beard and pitch black dyed
that's
wrestler
your, that's your
hair.
Man show viewer there.
Oh, yeah. He loved the man show. Best show on TV. God bless the governor. And then I liked that Schwarzenegger was on TV today talking about, Prop 66 or whatever the one where they're talking about appealing modifying the three strike thing. And I thought to myself, I know you like Schwarzenegger, and I like him for certain reasons, too, just because he seems like a hustler. But I don't mean a hustler like pimp hustler. He just seems to be doing something. But he's like, he explained why he was against the modifying 66. And I don't do a good Schwarzenegger, but it was basically, we don't want to let these people get out of prison, these murderers, these rapists, these drugs, and they release them into your neighborhoods. And they begin again. Oh, okay. All right. So, but the backers of Prop 66 want the rapists, arsonists, and murders released?
Of course.
And do you actually just dump them into your neighborhood where they run around like roaches that were let out of a jar?
Draws and pick the neighborhood.
Yeah. I thought to myself, all right, I'm a fan, but could you be any more of a simpleton? Who are you talking to? Seventh graders? Like, how about you say something like, look, the people that are behind 66, I'm sure they had all the goodwill in the world. Their logic is flawed, however. They would like you to believe that you're only letting people that, you know, nonviolent crimes.
You're judging a man who speaks two languages, who has difficulty with English as his second language. How dare you?
He basically summed the whole thing up by just saying they just get a steak bed truck. They use a pitchfork and they load pedophiles onto it. Then they come into your neighborhood and they just dump it.
They dump them. They start running around. They get in your neighborhood. They go in your mailbox. They get it. They scurry under your screen door. You know that pie that's cooling out on your kitchen window?
Take it.
They F it.
Oh.
They don't even eat it.
How dare you.
That's what that hole is at the top. Pow.
There's a new American pie coming.
Yeah.
Your way.
All right.
Anyway, I do.
It was a nice explanation he gave, though. Thank you, Arnold.
I do admire it.
Who is he talking to?
Don't stop making fun of him. He's
no,
doing okay
I mean
job.
It. Is
remarkable he, job, really.
He's
think
doing
of a great Davis. God
I think time is over.
Please. really, here's the thing. You replacing Gray Davis is it would be like if the last doctor on this show was just a cardboard cutout of Dr. Phil. And someone's saying, look how much better job Drew is doing than the cardboard cutout of Dr. Phil.
Yes.
Like, all right, but it's not that difficult, is it?
All right.
I mean, you're doing a better job than Gray Davis. Fantastic. All you got to do is sit up. You're doing a better job than Gray Davis. I'm fine with that, but why the retarded explanation? Why the oversimplified talking to, you know, Down syndrome
I
fourth
agree
graders?
With you. I think there's a lot of that in politics and in media.
Well,
got to talk.
Here's what I would like, and Danny, just nod if you agree, because I'm not monopolizing anything. But how about someone says, look, let me explain Prop 66. The people, you know, they're not insane. Their idea is they're going to let people that are nonviolent out from long sentences. The problem with that logic is, tell us why. Don't just say, oh, they want to take, you know, rapists and arsonists and murderers and throw them in your bedroom through the heating system.
Well, you know, he is an actor, so he had to do that for effect.
I guess he
had to paint the picture, tell the story. It was his kind of a way of jumping back into character.
See, Danny admires what he did.
I know, but it's almost like you going, look, you have. I'm trying to decide between the Toyota and the Honda, and we're talking to the Toyota dealer, and he's going, Honda's not even a car. It's just a guy defecates on a paper plate, and he sticks wheels to it, and he gives it to you.
So you've driven a Honda.
And you're like, well, I'm sure they can't be doing that. They wouldn't be in business. Oh, yes. No, here's what I want my guy to say. Hey, the Accord's a fine car. It's a good car. Yeah, I had one for a couple of years in college. Let me tell you why the Camry's better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I want. And they won't do it. It's just like the Accord, the other car, doesn't exist. It's horrible.
But you know what? The whole thing with the Camry, kind of boring. The defecating on a plate.
Much better.
More exciting.
Much better.
Yeah, that's
more
true.
Drama.
And you get people out to vote when you talk about defecating on a plate.
Oh, yeah.
Two chickens in every pot and a defecation on every paper plate.
With wheels.
With wheels. All right. Should we keep going? We're going to let arsonists...
die natural death.
We're going to let them go in your hair. Okay? That's Schwarzenegger's thing. Thanks, Arnie. Fantastic. Let me write this down. And I still don't know what Prop 66 was, but I appreciate the governor weighing in on it. Shall we? Look, people should make fun of him. They really should. I didn't want to, but if he goes up there and tells the world's worst jokes, he does all the Terminator stuff and all the "I'll be back" and all this. He's going to terminate the deficit and all this. Really, I like the guy. The guy works hard, but what is he doing? What is all this stuff? Who's advising him? Does he have? He has too many yes men around him, just laughing at everything he says. Like someone needs to go. Okay, yeah, I know. The deficit anator, by the way. That's enough. Let's go. Let's focus. Let's go now.
Yeah.
You right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Laughing time is over.
All right. Shelley? It was over about 20 minutes ago.
Schwarzenegger?
No.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
He's got that gene.
He's a blowhard, yeah. Shelley? But by your logic, I would be Jewish, too.
Yeah, but you're funny.
Yeah. That's right. Go ahead, Shelley.
Okay, a pretty simple question for you, probably more or less. I'm 28 years old, single, and at best, you might say I've dated. I've never had a real boyfriend to speak of. My friends tell me I'm at least either attractive or average, and I'm wondering what in the world I am doing wrong that I can't ever seem to find someone other than an occasional date. I feel like
do you set your standards very high?
I don't think so. Pretty much no drugs or not alcoholics.
You're fat.
Oh, true, please.
Other than that, I mean, I'm pretty tolerant of most things.
What do you do?
What do you mean, what do I do?
How do you support yourself?
Yeah.
I work for the, I have two jobs, one for a government and one for the nursery, a plant nursery.
Are you working so hard that you don't have time to meet people?
Both my jobs are fairly social, and I also, I'm still a student going to school part-time, so I see a lot of people at school.
Oh, all right. So you're going, you're a student, you work at a nursery, and you work for the government?
Yeah, kind of crazy.
And what do you do for the government? Assassin?
No, I actually work out in the woods supervising youth crews.
Wow.
So, again, these are not the
I'm going back to Drew's fat. You a big gal? Big gal?
I am 6 feet tall.
Ooh.
And I range between 170 and 180.
All right, hold on. Ooh. Let me do a little, little radio math. We rarely get the range. When you're fluctuating, that's bad. All right, so let's see. 6 foot, 170, 180. I got 5'11 and 9/16 through 196.
I think you forgot the modifier. When they're over 6 feet, they actually round down.
They round down.
So it's actually 6'1 and three quarters.
6'1, 211
there
pounds.
There you go.
All right, where is she? She's calling from Oregon, boy. Shelly?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you're big and you're intimidating to the fellas, but I can tell you this right now, and I hate to sound like an a-hole, but let's Drew, stop playing on your whatever that is. You're probably, what are you, 20 pounds? You think you're 15, 20 pounds overweight?
I actually might be around maybe 10. Like I said, my degrees are in nutrition and fitness, so my BMI is actually right around 17. 17. Actually, I'm 17 or 18.
Uh-huh.
But
here's the deal.
I'm really not that much overweight.
But here's what you're a type, and when you're a type, it's sort
sturdy.
Of it sort of narrows the field a little bit.
Yeah,
the guy has to be into that type.
Yeah, yeah,
and a lot of short guys are into that type.
Yeti.
A lot of small guys.
Yeah, ironically. Yeah. Funny. So here's the thing there, Shelly.
Okay.
It sounds like you're living your life and you're doing a lot of things.
Which is great.
Which is good. I can tell you, look, I'm not trying to be an idiot, and I know it sounds like, you're going to give everyone an eating disorder, but 6 foot and 180 means you're 15 pounds away, maybe 20 pounds away from optimal dating weight. Look at here's the thing. Look at yourself as a fighter, okay, as a boxer. And a guy can be fighter. Fighter could be Felix Trinidad. He could be 6 foot and 175 and still look better than us with a shirt off. But he's not at maximum form until he gets down to 168.
He's not going to win any fights.
You see what I'm saying? It's going to be considered sloppy with an extra 8 or 10 pounds on him. You got to get it sort of maximum fighting weight, because the reality is you're 28, you're female, you've not had a long-term relationship yet, you're getting close to 30 and you're looking for something, whatever, and it's time to make a move. And again, I sound like an a-hole, but you walking around at 180 saying, I'm fine. I'm a nutritionist major. I'm fine. Well, you think you're fine, but the fellas...
The market
ain't buying it.
You know what? Also, there aren't a lot of single guys going to nurseries.
Yeah, I was going to say, and also working in the woods wherever she is. She may need to meet more guys and may need to sort of put it out there a little bit, be more aggressive.
Yeah. Shelly. How about you put it out there a little bit? You may need to start having your friends set you up, or are you going to junior college?
Depends on which term. Most of the time I'm at a four-year college.
Mm-hmm. When you're walking through it to get to the junior college?
No.
No. But you go to a junior college too?
Yeah. As I run out of money, I'll go back to the two-year college for a while, and then I'll get money saved up, and I go back to the four-year.
Okay. All right. You're 28, by the way. Eventually you graduate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ideally.
Okay. What are you majoring in?
Nutrition and fitness.
Oh, yeah. I already asked that. All right. Here's the thing. You're going to have to get around people. You're going to have to get around. This is what we got to talk about now.
What?
Meeting people of the opposite sex, so much of your success surrounding that is about actual, just this sort
being,
of...
Being in the market.
Being in that market.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just being in that population.
Yes, yes.
It's really, it's like, if you really look at it this way, people don't vary that much. You take a bunch of 25-year-olds, they're 25. Why does this one hook up and that one doesn't hook up? Well, there's certain things. People are better looking or taller or whatever. But a lot of it's just being around that group. If you got a job where, you know, you go into restaurants and scrub out flues at 4 in the morning.
Or carpets.
Or clean carpets at restaurants.
At 3 in the morning.
At 3 in the morning. You're not going to get late.
Sounds personal.
No.
Oh, yes.
That's all right.
Oh, yes.
I'm over it. But no, if you're taking a bunch of kids with learning disorders out into the woods and pointing at pine cones, and then you're going to the nurseries and giving a bunch of fat old broads a dwarf lemon trees and a bunch of...
Right, and the schools that she's going to, she never established as a peer group, because she's going back and forth.
No,
kind of
you need guys. You need to hang out. You need guys around you.
Consistently.
Yeah. That's right.
And
that's right.
It will happen. Unless there's something about you psychologically where you're not open to it and you're rejecting these guys for some reason, pushing them away, which I doubt. You don't sound like that.
But my walk around at 180,
it restricts your market. It restricts the guys that are going to be.
I look, you know, and I feel like I'm like a realtor.
Yeah,
I'm a realtor, and I'm saying, look, you got a nice house, except for the problem is you painted it canary yellow. And it's not going to sell. We can get put a coat of Swiss coffee on there. We'll get an extra $100,000 for it. And the person's going, I understand. It's good paint. At a certain point, I'm going, okay, look, you don't want to sell the house. That's your business. I'm the realtor. I'm saying you drop 15 pounds, the house goes on the market.
That's right.
You're good with the analogies. You're
really
good with that.
That's my saying I'm a realtor. I'm not an analogy.
And it's not
physically
by,
telling her to put a coat of paint on
herself. It's just you're reflecting the reality of how people, guys function.
You like the canary yellow, that's your business. I'm telling you, as a trained realtor who's been in the association, certified now for over 17 years, who's moved over a $50 million worth of property, commercial and otherwise, working the San Fernando Valley and East Valley areas
for a
quarter of a century. I can tell you, I'm starting to enjoy this life, by the way, as a loving mother of three and chairman of PTA. I'm telling you that this is, I don't care what you look like. I'm not going to bang you. I'm not hanging out with you. I'm never going to meet you. I'm saying how to move that product. This is how. Yes?
Painted Swiss coffee.
Painted Swiss coffee. All right. Cassie?
Hey.
Painted Swiss coffee.
Painted Swiss coffee. What's up?
I don't know. It's about time.
What's happening, baby doll?
Okay, well, I've been using meth lately, and I told the screener that I was doing it maybe on average 2 times a week, but actually that was being pretty optimistic. Now that I think about it, maybe 3 or 4 times a week.
That's what most amphetamine addicts do.
Four times a week.
Yeah, most amphetamine addicts do it 3 or 4 times a week for 6 to 18 months before the S hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
How many months?
You'll start to get irritable, have trouble functioning. You'll start thinking people are talking about you and thinking about you, and your family's plotting against you. And it actually damages. First, it depletes certain chemicals that gives you this paranoia where you're preoccupied about friends and neighbors and coworkers and family members.
Mm-hmm.
And then it damages a part of the brain that's responsible for maintaining mood and establishing memory.
Irreparably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, irreparably.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a profound addiction. You've got to get that treated, Carrie.
Okay, I'll work on that. But I also want to know, are there any mental effects, too, besides the later, just starting to use it? Because, I've been freaking out a lot lately about, I'll start thinking about my boyfriend, I'll start thinking about my future and how, this is a stupid white trash drug and I shouldn't be doing it, but...
All right.
I think I just explained, I went through quite a lengthy discussion here, which you have trouble concentrating maybe, too, but that it causes paranoias.
I don't get paranoid at all.
Thinking about your boyfriend is not paranoia? Yeah.
All right. Look, here's the thing. It's speed.
It makes you irritable.
It's horrible mood stuff. Why are we arguing about it?
It can make you manic.
It's bad. You should try to get off it as soon as you possibly can.
And I can tell you it is progressive, and it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. Yeah. And you're not going to stop it without treatment is the other thing.
Yeah, how does one stop that?
You've got to get involved in some treatment. Cassie, 17, you're strung out. This is bad times.
Okay.
And you can't get over it by switching to something else. That's not.
I don't want to do that.
Well, people switch to pot and alcohol. They switch to pot and alcohol and attempt to get off it sometimes. And so that's not the solution. You need to see a doctor who's used to treating amphetamine addiction.
I was smart. I just switched to pot and alcohol from pot and alcohol. I didn't do the speed round. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to get caught in that
trap. Just go back and forth. Pot and alcohol. Or you
smoke. I don't really smoke pot anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got to get going with that.
You know, pot eventually makes everybody, it doesn't work, you know, even if you're not an addict, its effects sort of don't work over time.
Really?
Yeah.
Ricky Williams.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out. Yeah, I always get high, but it's just like, I don't like it anymore. But it's okay. Someone wants to give me some. Someone wanted me to eat a pot brownie the other weekend.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's too big a commitment.
Uh-oh.
That's going camping. You know what I mean? That ain't taking a hike, that's going camping.
Did you do
You're not coming back. No. No, I've done it enough to freak out. And here's the whole thing about it. When you eat that pot brownie, that pot cookie, it's a ride that you can't get off
right,
of. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. They ain't stopping the coaster and letting you off.
Right.
That's the problem. Whereas you smoke the weed, all right, an hour later, you'll mellow out. I'll maintain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the orally ingested pot lasts a lot longer.
Yeah, but when it's right, so right. Yeah? Yeah. All right. Where are we going here, Drew? Talk to Nicole?
Sure.
Let's talk to, what about Lauren? Been on hold for 80 minutes.
Go ahead. Huh? Whatever you want.
Yeah, I feel bad for her.
Lauren from the OC?
Lauren from the OC, and then let's talk to a Sam. Let's just, you know, we do the show every night. People sit there, they have to listen to me rambling for 90 minutes, 110
brutal.
Minutes.
It's brutal.
Brutal. It's brutal. I feel sorry for him. Lauren?
Yeah?
17.
Yes.
You lied about being raped.
Yeah.
Raped, I should say. Nobody knows the truth. Who'd you lie to?
Well, I told a guy friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told my parents.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
That'd be an interesting and uncomfortable conversation. Why did he tell your parents? Not that it's a bad thing. It's just
Why'd you lie to him? Strange
thing for a teenage guy to do.
I guess, I don't know, I just wanted attention from him. I never really expected it to go as far as it went.
Mm-hmm. And why did he tell your parents?
Are you kidding me? That would be bad. I'm like...
Wait a minute. I know. He told your parents, right?
Yeah.
Why did he do
why?
That?
I don't know. He's worried about me.
Okay. And and you like this guy? He said you wanted attention from him.
Yeah.
You do.
And saying you'd have been raped was supposed to get attention?
I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but how about just give him a BJ or something? You want to get attention, don't you? So you're raped.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that. But you would say you were raped.
I guess so, yeah.
Did you tell him who raped you? Did he want to know? Did he know? Did you tell him someone? It was someone he knew?
No, I just made up like a really elaborate story about like I was in the wrong place, wrong time. I had no idea who it was. That's
all right. What's your question tonight?
I don't know what to do. I mean, like, I feel like I'm crazy because they sent me like this psychiatrist lady, and she was really nice, and she was. Like, oh, why would anyone lie about that sort of thing? I've only had two people who've ever lied about rape, and they were mentally disturbed.
All right.
So it's
well,
like, oh, crap.
And this guy, are you sure he doesn't like you, the guy who told your parents?
Yeah.
Now especially.
Well, now how do you know, though, he isn't attracted to you? And then why is he so close with your parents?
He's not close with my parents. He just told them. For some odd reason.
Okay, and you're sure he doesn't like you? You've asked him out, or you've dated him, or?
I asked him out, and like I liked him first, and my best friend went out with him, so I was kind of pissed off at her, but oh well.
All right, and he has no interest in you.
No.
All right, I can't figure out this guy's role, and you're clearly angry.
Angry and depressed.
Wow, are you angry?
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
LA Bistro that I'm going to be eating at in a few years.
It should be perfect.
Yes, they're tossing the toot around.
But now what your psychiatrist was using was something called therapeutic wonderment, where they go, why would somebody do that?
Yeah.
They know exactly why, but she's throwing it up to you to see if you can come up with some process on this.
Yeah.
And she's not saying, and she didn't say, The only person I ever had was mentally disturbed.
I think my wife does that when I pee in the sink.
She says,
what kind of animal would pee in the sink? See, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to bite. Not going for that. But I do like a monkey, raccoon. I answer.
No, they won't. Only a man would do that.
Yeah. Hey, it's my sink, right?
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's hers too, right?
All right. And by the way, what's going to wash the snot rocket down? That's my argument. That thing ain't going down the drain on its own, sweetie. Sure as hell don't see any mouthwash around here.
As soon as you come over there and smell. You would be in the sink again.
All right. Lauren, you need to come clean to your therapist.
Yeah, you need to take some, you need to get help.
I only saw her like twice and I kind of dropped it.
Well, that's a mistake. Well, obviously you need some help.
What's going on? Is your dad an attorney or something?
No.
Does he work?
I work, yeah.
Is your parents, are they neglectful or something? You're not getting attention from them?
No, I've had a great childhood.
Sounds like it. What's your dad do?
He, like, owns his own business.
Right. It's the number one angry answer we get from angry chicks.
Yes.
Their whole thing
they're
is about never
give.
Really giving
no
you
give, yeah.
any information. Oh, he owns his own business. Oh, I could probably use him for something that I don't know about. What business?
He's a contractor.
Uh-oh. That's bad. What's he do specifically? By the way, it's always three or four questions. You can't just say
puts
carpet.
He deals with, like, iron and fences and stuff like
that. Yeah. All right. Metal guy. Yeah. Welds. Ooh. That's bad. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't weld. He pays other people to do it.
Yeah, he did it for many years before he got his own business off the ground, though. How dare you?
Yeah, right. He can't weld.
He can't?
No.
Wow. At least you're angry at this guy. Why are you so angry? What made you so angry?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, look, it's going to be a bad life for you just walking around angry and telling people you're raped.
Yeah.
How about you come clean to your parents just so your dad doesn't have the anguish of thinking his daughter
they still think you were... They know you lied, right?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
she hasn't told anybody.
Oh, jeez.
Sadly, I'm a very good actress and very good at lying.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Lauren, do me a favor. Please, please tell your father and mother that you weren't raped because as a parent... it's going to be a lot of sleepless nights.
But also,
okay?
the fact that you take pride in lying is a very bad sign.
Right.
Really bad. It speaks of some significant character problems.
Right.
So you need to keep seeing the psychiatrist.
All right. Who she's not seeing anymore. She only saw a couple of times because they thought she was raped.
I know, but believe me, the therapist wants to keep seeing her.
I know, but the therapist out of the picture. Okay.
I mean,
start by telling your parents you weren't raped
and then
for
go
them.
Back, yes.
For the love of Christ.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Danny Pino here. We'll take a quick break. Cold Case, 8 o'clock, CBS Sunday nights. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Pino here tonight. From Cold Case, CBS, 8 o'clock, Sunday night. All right. What's going on? Who's in here?
Andy Dick.
I'm not up for that, Drew.
It's a lot of energy.
I'm tired.
Maybe he'll bring his band in and beat him up. Be nice.
I like a nice Danny Pino type guest, you know?
Jesus Christ in heaven! Where has this been? Send me an ounce of this stuff!
That's 2 hours of me trying to deal with that. Yeah. And Drew sitting there like an idiot just reading his pager. Yeah, fantastic. Danny Pino, you know what he is? He's like a nice Labrador. Just wants to sit with you by the fire. You're going to read a book. He's going to relax. Now, if there's any rustling out in the bushes, he's up. He's at the window.
He's in all
he's
action.
He's ready.
Yeah.
He's all action. But he's not running around doing that chewing. You know, Andy Dick's a dog that chews at its groin and makes noise.
Yeah.
Just constantly going at its
shabby
ass.
I just wanted to see the
thing.
Wet pink stick.
That's what it is.
I'll definitely pee in the sink.
Oh, running around,
yeah.
Smacking people around, screaming at people off mic all the time. Andy Dixon, you know why he's a horrible guest? Because he's like one of these guys. He's one of these guys who comes in and goes, he'll be talking to Engineer Chris, but no one knows. Hi, how are you? Oh, good. You're different. Something's different. And you're trying to talk to him about something, he's pointing at stuff and talking to other people. You know, I swear to God, you want to know something? He's a great, he's good energy. He comes on Jimmy Kimmel a lot.
Dear friend.
Dear friend. One of Andy Dick's favorite all-time movies is Windy City Heat.
Oh, is that right?
Movie we did for Comedy Central. It's brilliant. You should all see Windy City Heat. The point is Drew's, Jimmy's warm-up guy was one of the stars of Windy City Heat.
Oh,
his name is Don Barish.
Yeah.
So we have to remove him from the studio when Andy Dick comes out because Andy Dick will point and go, oh, that guy, hey, buddy, I love that movie. And, of course, everyone in America has no idea who you're pointing at or what you're talking about or any reference at all.
He's a funny man.
He is funny, though.
Yeah.
I will give him that. All right. We ready to rock?
Here we go. I'm ready to rock.
Drew, I've done the math on what you get paid every year and all that stuff. You get about $3,300 for every here we go. That's how it really breaks down for you.
And I get about 10 times more per word. Maybe 20 times more per word.
Oh, per syllable. Per syllable.
Yeah.
We've broken it down here. We get paid the same amount.
Is that right?
But I get $4 every sentence, and Drew gets $900 a syllable. And that's why the here we go is a big money maker for him.
I can always fall back on that.
Yeah. Here we go. Chee chee.
Here we go.
There's $3,300. Christina?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering if you could tell me if I have an STD or not.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened.
Well, about a week ago, I lost my virginity, and I was drunk, and it kind of just happened. I wasn't even planning it. And, well, it got a little carried away, and there was a little bit of intercourse involved. Mm-hmm. And I've been, like, experiencing, like, I went to Planned Parenthood to get a morning after pill.
Good girl. Wow.
Yeah. mm-hmm. And so I took that, and so, of course, I was bleeding.
Yep.
And so I wasn't sure if I was hurting because I have, like, some symptoms, like, kind of, like, burning and itching and stuff like that. I wasn't sure if it was a yeast infection or if I was, like, the cuts were healing and that was part of it.
Ooh, cuts were healing.
Well, I mean, it wasn't, like, cuts. I mean, it wasn't, like, you know what I mean? But...
Yeah. Well, like, abrasions? Like, you were not lubricated or something? Or the guy was still wearing his jeans?
No.
You did this such a long time that you hurt yourself?
What happened?
No, it just... I don't
know. Was it violent? Was it violent?
No, not at all.
All right.
Pull back the curtain.
What were the cuts for? What happened? Explain the cuts.
Well, it's not even like a big cut. It wasn't like, it was just sore like the next day.
The outside of the vagina was sore.
Yeah. And
were there sores there or anything?
No, I looked with a mirror and everything, and I didn't see anything. I can't see anything now, but I
actually had to do that once when I had that carbuncle down there.
You did surgery with the mirror, though.
Well, what are you going to do?
And you destroyed the mirror, too, didn't you?
It's in the Smithsonian.
You presented it. You produced onto the mirror.
No, I did not.
Yes,
I did not.
Where did all that stuff go?
In my bunghole.
No, you said there was a huge release.
Yeah, there was a release. I had a carbuncle on my ass and I popped it, but it didn't go flying out.
Okay,
it was like a seagull crapped on my ass. Disgusting, but it didn't go anywhere.
Well, it can come out under pressure sometimes.
But it didn't.
All right, Christina. Look, a couple things here.
Okay.
Thank God you went and got that morning out pill. That was a good move. Yes, you can just have external vaginal irritation after intercourse, and that can cause all kinds of funny symptoms and burning when you urinate. But you can also get a urinary tract infection, so you ought to see a doctor about that, because that infection can be kind of serious sometimes and get up into the kidneys.
What?
So if you have burning when you pee after intercourse, it's basically a urine infection until proven otherwise. If you also have sores or any sort of discharge, that could be an STD. So need to go back to Planned Parenthood and get examined. Probably.
Who is this guy, by the way?
I don't want to say anything.
Do you like him?
Well, it's not like I like him, but I'm like really attracted to him, kind of. But it's not like a big deal at all. Like, it's nothing more than friends. So.
Well, I don't understand. Oh, he doesn't like you,
right?
I don't know. It's just like a physical thing. Like, we both...
Yeah, but
if he came to you and said, I want to be your boyfriend, let's keep dating.
No, it's because he had a girlfriend for a while, and they just broke up. So
That's what we're saying.
Like, well, look, had a girlfriend and just broke up is great news for someone who's into somebody else.
No, it's not like I, like, took the advantage. It was just, we saw
I'm not saying that. Here's what we're saying.
Okay.
You had sex with this guy. You were inebriated, but you had sex with the guy. Mm-hmm. You're attracted to him. He's a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
We think you like him.
It's not.
You're trying to talk us and yourself out of it. We're not buying it.
No, I really don't.
Why don't you? Well, you just he's hot, he's nice, and you're having sex with him, but you're not really into him.
No, it was just a one-time thing. Like, I know it's probably not going to happen again.
Yeah. I understand, but why? Unless you know he doesn't like you.
Unless you know he doesn't want to have it again.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to have it again? You're attracted to him, you like him. What's the matter with you?
Well, I haven't talked to him since.
No, he hasn't talked to you since.
Why wouldn't you want it to be that way? Forget what he wants.
All women do this. They're
afraid to assert what they want.
Here's what it is. She is interested in him as whatever
he's up for, whatever.
Boyfriend, husband,
whatever. She just accepts the one-night stand because she thinks that's all she's going to get.
He's not into it.
It's a rebound.
She doesn't want to be... Yeah, it's a rebound for him. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to be disappointed. So each time we ask her how does she feel about him, she essentially answers how he feels about it.
What he's up for. Yeah.
What he's up for, which is what she says she's up for, which isn't true.
Yeah.
She says... You know, and by the way, I don't know when guys were able to convince women that to set their expectation level exactly where mine is.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. I really want to bang the bejesus out of you 3 or 4 times a month, but I want no strings attached. What do you think? And all of a sudden, they're like, yes,
like robots.
I just want to have penetration with you, no strings attached. May we come to your house?
Yeah.
How about you put your dork through the mail slot and I perform fellatio on it from the porch, never entering the home? Would you like me to bring over a pizza?
They've all become Rosie from the Jetsons.
Well, isn't it sort of defensive? It's sort of a way to protect yourself.
Yes, but it's ridiculous.
It is. Meanwhile, you're not protecting yourself. You're getting in deeper
because you're being
next to the person that you're falling in love with and you're having physical relations with them, which is drawing yourself in. Christina.
Yes.
All right. What do you think of what we just said?
I think you guys make a lot of sense, but that's not how I feel.
I listen
to you guys all the time. I respect, like, everything you say because it makes a lot of sense.
All right.
But it's not like that. Like, I really, like, I'm attracted to him. I think he's, like, a great person, like, all around, but it's not like I would want to be with him.
Because I'm not
ready for that.
All right. That's a different answer. That's fine.
All right.
I can accept that.
And do you think he... And then the question is, what about him?
Well, I know he wouldn't be either, but it's not because...
He doesn't want to be that way either?
Yeah, he just got out of a long relationship and...
Maybe he does want to be one with you.
How do you know he doesn't want to be with you that way?
Because I can tell. I know.
All right. That's why you set yours where you set your gauge to his gauge. For the disappointment thing, and maybe you don't even know it anymore. And I know I sound like a pompous a-hole, but the fact that both of you who are young and attractive and really dig each other's human beings and are sexually attracted to each other, and neither one of you wants a relationship, I find hard to believe. And I'm going to just err on the more traditional side, which is you would like that if he asked you out, you would like to go out with him, and you're not admitting it to us and yourself.
No, if he did, I would go out on a date with him, but it wouldn't be, like, serious, like a serious thing.
Why not?
Because I'm going to be going to college, and it's just a problem waiting to happen.
Where are you going to college? All right, okay. Mm. Where are you going to college?
San Diego.
Oh, really?
That's half hour from where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You live in Oceanside. And where are you going, San Diego, University of San Diego, or San Diego State? Uh-oh. Okay, that's not even going to college. That's just going.
Yeah, but
you know what that's
be
called?
Plenty busy.
That's
there,
called a beer run. That's not going to college. I'm making a beer run. I'm going to be on a beer run for 4 years. You guys need anything? Give me some Twizzlers and some of that turkey jerky. Not the hot this time, the traditional.
The teriyaki?
That really should be known. It's a 4-year beer run. That's what San Diego State is. Well, what did I say, 4 years?
Six years.
Yeah. 6-year beer run. But you come back with 4 years worth of beer. That's how it works. You don't come back with the six years.
Take a break.
Let's get it on. Let's break it down.
Taking a break.
Let's go. Let's get a hand in.
Break time.
All right. Don't sit on your helmets, gentlemen. It's not a chair. Helmet's not a chair. Grab it in. Use that term loosely, gentlemen. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Danny Pino in here. CBS, everyone. Cold Case. 8 o'clock, Sunday nights. All right, what are we doing? We getting to the phones?
Yeah.
We got to rock and roll.
Let's do it.
Let's talk to Nicole, who's 22. Nicole?
Yes?
What's up?
Hey, I'm 22, and I met this guy 7 years ago, like, when I was in high school, like, when I was 15. And, we never, did anything together. We've never, we slept in the same, bed for, 7 years.
What?
We slept in the same bed but never did anything for, seven years.
That's her stepbrother.
Hello? Mm-hmm. And,
No, Drew's not listening. She's such, Okay, keep going.
Oh, wait, I don't get this. I didn't... She said she's met a guy in high school.
Basically, when I was 15, I met him, and for 7 years, we slept, we would sleep together, in the same bed, and we wouldn't do anything,
What do you mean for 7 years? What does that mean?
I've known him for 7 years, and, we would, spend the night at each other's houses, and, we would sleep in the same bed, but not do anything. I've never, kissed him, and then,
And your parents were okay with you guys sleeping in the same bed?
Yeah, they were fine. We never did anything. We were just friends.
How do they know?
Do they sleep in the bed with you?
No, because they just knew.
Well, your parents are very trusting.
Well, the fact that he didn't is not a good sign for you if you're interested in him.
No. So, okay, 2 years ago, we, lost in touch with each other. And, just recently, I had a baby, and, I just, started looking for him just recently. I found him, out of nowhere. He just appeared, at the bar that I went to.
Hold on.
This bar that you went to, you have a baby. It's just
okay, hold on a second. You met him when you were 15.
Yeah.
You slept in the... You're 22 now.
Yes.
You slept in the same bed off and on for 7 years, but you lost touch 2 years ago.
Right. Well,
Five years you slept in the same
5 years. So let's say 5 years.
And how often would you do that, by the way? Every weekend?
I don't know. Sometimes I'd be at his house for, a week, and, we would just, go places together, and, we were...
So were you guys, best friends? Is that what
it
was?
Yeah, kind of, we were best friends.
How old is he? Your age?
Yeah, he's my age. And just, recently, we, came in contact with each other, and we had sex. And, ever since then... Yeah, and then,
The ultimate contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, Right.
There you go, okay. Yes.
And so, after that, I don't know, he kind of, hasn't really called... Well, he called me, but, I haven't called him back, but... he didn't call for a whole week, and I don't know. I feel lot of feelings, and
sure,
he's engaged, so I don't know. He says that he's engaged, but then we had sex, and then he didn't call, and then
having sex doesn't mean anything.
By the way, he didn't call. He's engaged.
Right.
Secondly, can you imagine the kind of love you'd have built up after sleeping 5 years in a bed with a woman and not doing a thing? And then, Drew, as a man of passion, could you imagine the tidal wave of semen that would come out of that motel room when you opened the door, just wash down into the street, cars piling on top of each other, guys talking, phone booths being knocked over, and dragged down, semis jackknifing, hitting it. Yes?
Yes.
Telephone poles being knocked over. 5 years of sleeping in bed. And by the way, I can't figure this cat out.
No.
I don't know if Nicole had some sort of head trauma or something. I can't figure her out. I can't figure her parents out. So this guy was 16 and she was 16, or they're both 15 and they're sleeping in the same bed together. By the way, you sleep in the same bed at 15 with a beanbag chair, you rape it.
A male.
At 4 in the
morning.
You get a boner, and that's it.
Absolutely.
Dog, Raggedy Andy, it, whatever's in there is getting it, right?
Raggedy Ann.
Hot wheel track you would have sex with if you figure out a way to penetrate a hot wheel track.
That is the 7
whatever was in your bed when you got that boner and you were 15, right?
Yes.
So the fact that he didn't do anything with her is it's bizarre, but yeah, it's like bizarre. Makes me think, well, my natural assumption was, well, he was gay and he wanted a sort of companion, right. And maybe the parents sort of felt.
Or maybe he had delayed sexual development or something and hadn't really come online yet with the
hormones.
Right.
Now he's engaged.
And now he shows up and has sex with her.
Nicole's sort of been looking for him for a few years. I mean, you're always interested in the guy, right, Nicole? You wouldn't have been over at his house.
Yeah, true. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, when we were growing up, like, I wasn't really, like, attracted to him. Like, he was just, like, my friend. Like, he was okay. Shorter than me. And, like,
shorter.
But then, okay. Like, he got, like, taller than me, and he just all of a sudden, like, cute. And
how do you know you didn't get shorter? You may have shrunk.
No, man, I got taller.
I think his pubertal growth spurt.
Hey, Nicole, here's, let me just tell you a few things. Because we're running out of time. A, no more goddamn kids, please.
Oh, my God.
No, for sure. I'm not ever, like, having any more kids. It was the worst experience of my life. But, like, I love my son, but
sure.
It was the worst.
Oh, he's going to be dynamite. Oh. Well, let's all close our eyes and picture him. Yeah, wearing a jumpsuit with the sleeves cut off. Lighting a cigarette with an acetylene torch. Yeah, it's be great.
Oh,
I just
man.
Picturing this guy.
Four-stage
mullet. Oh, no, he's going to be the president.
Four-stage mullet. But who is the dad? Who is the dad of this kid?
His name is Ronnie. Like, he was a...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, why don't you say so?
Yeah. Ronnie. Let me...
Who is he to you?
Huh?
Who is he to you, the father?
Well, he's, like, my... I met him through my friend, and it's his brother. Like,
All right. Is he paying? Is he helping to pay for your son?
Well, of course. Like, all right, yeah.
Okay. So, no more kids. Secondly, this guy is just a memory. Thirdly, you focus on being a good mother, which probably doesn't mean hanging out at bars.
Yes.
Right.
And thirdly, you find a good guy who's suitable, who's going to treat you right and be a good father to your young son so he doesn't stab through his kids.
Forget about
when he's
this
15,
guy.
Okay?
This guy's getting married to somebody else. Here we go.
All right. All right. Well, that's mommy. That's mama, everybody. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Well, that's the show. Where'd the time go? Danny, a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Come back anytime you like. Cold Case, CBS, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock, y'all. Good times. Anytime you got something to plug, you come by, give it a plug.
Well, I will. Thank you very much for having me again.
Continued success, and say hi to all the folks in the former hood. So... Andy Dick coming in here tomorrow night. I'm going to get like a flu shot and get about 14 hours of sleep tonight. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. You got some 19-year-old model who's like,
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.